Hello everyone and welcome to the Indian Startup Show. It's a weekly podcast about Indian startups, entrepreneurs and what they're building. I'm Neil Patel, the host, and thank you for tuning in. And if you need something to do during these challenging and difficult times, check out Skillshare.com. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes in design, business, tech and more. Anyone can join the millions of members in the community to learn cutting-edge skills, network with peers and discover new opportunities. So try premium free for 2 months. Check out the show notes for more details.
They were just like, oh, it's a very difficult business and you shouldn't be doing it. And are you sure you want to do it? And do you have a partner? And those kind of questions.
Today, I speak with Futurepreneur Grand Challenge winner, Radhika Timbaria. She's the owner of Kampacha. Kampacha is a unique cafe venture with a unique experience around books, food, curation, and a strong community. They're based in Bangalore. And she talks about how it got started. She talks about spotting the gap in the market. And she gives her thoughts on building a community. She talks about the early days of not being taken seriously by vendors and challenges of retaining employees. She talks about dealing with COVID-19 and advice for first-time entrepreneurs and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Radhika. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Hi, Neil. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
First of all, congratulations. You are the Future Entrepreneur Grand Challenge winner. How does that make you feel?
Very happy because everything's helping towards keeping our business alive at this point. With COVID, everything is so difficult that this really helps.
How did you find out and, you know, were you shocked or surprised? How did you celebrate?
Oh, I mean, we're all just stuck at home right now. So I'm celebrating by paying my staff.
Yeah, so please tell us what you do.
So I run Champaka Bookstore, Library and Cafe. We started 2019, but it's been running since Feb. 2019, we are a highly curated bookstore, a children's library for children under 12 years, and a cafe which serves a lot of yummy comfort food with local ingredients.
Good stuff. So it sounds like quite a unique entrepreneurial venture, bookstore, library, coffee shop. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I really wanted such a space to exist in Bangalore. I've been a book reader all my life. I've spent a decade working in wildlife research and conservation. I wanted a quiet space where I could spend a lot of time finding the right kind of books. I could also maybe sit with a cup of coffee. And we're also very lucky in Bangalore. We do have a lot of bookstores. Mm-hmm. It's not like we don't have them. And that's also helped build a really nice reading culture here. So I felt like because I wanted this space to exist, and I think I was being overambitious now that I think back, mm-hmm. I wanted all of it at once. So I started it.
What were the initial steps then to get this off the ground?
So I spent about, I left my job, but I continued to work as a consultant while I was looking for a space. So it took me about two and a half years to find this particular space. It was a mix between something that was, our current space is very green and it's in the middle of the city, but it's very quiet. So I was really looking for something like that and it took me a long time to find it. Also, you know, to make sure our rents were good enough that, you know, I could afford them. So it took me a long time to find them. I had to make contacts with a lot of distributors and publishers. I had to find the right person to head my cafe. It took a while to set all of that up.
Yeah, because I went to Bangalore in December.
Lovely.
Some amazing bookshops I visited.
Yes, absolutely.
What is the history behind this then? Or is there a history behind this?
Bookstores in Bangalore?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but if you look at cities in like, if you look at Delhi, if you look at Bombay and Calcutta, there are bookstores and there used to be more of a secondhand book culture in Delhi earlier, but all of that has changed in the last couple of years. But the Bangalore secondhand bookstore scene thrives still, and it just makes people have access to very good books for very little money, and it really helps. Mm-hmm. It just continued to be like that. So the people who run these bookstores are also very entrepreneurial, and they've just done a really good job over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why it survived here as compared to the other cities. Mm-hmm. But it just did.
The traffic in Bangalore is a bit of a nightmare. I have to say
it
that.
Is.
I don't know how you guys manage every day.
It is horrid. It is really horrid. I have to agree with that.
I think I just ended up walking up, I think it's Brigade Street, or actually I must admit the weather in Bangalore is really nice.
It is. So I actually came here for my undergrad many years ago, and I completely fell in love with the weather. It was, I came from Bombay and I was amazed at not having to sweat all the time kind of weather.
Yeah, especially in the evening. It's quite nice in the evening.
It's really nice, yeah. It's just, I think we have 2 months of difficult weather, say like March and April. Mm-hmm. And as it's weather's changing everywhere, and Bangalore's also gotten hot over the years, but it's still, rest of the year, it's still very good weather.
Yeah, it's nice. So in the early days then, was this a difficult concept, sell or market then?
No, surprisingly not. So from the beginning, we were able to do a whole bunch of events, and most of our events are also free. We got support from a lot of authors. We also, we are exploring a completely different niche from other spaces. So I felt like it wasn't a competition in that sense. Mm-hmm. We focus quite a lot on diversity when we look at our curated shelves. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time recommending books. We spend a lot of time writing notes in our books so that people feel like they want to buy them. We also spend a lot of time choosing our books. So it's a very different experience from walking into a bookstore which has 500,000 books and you discover new books, as compared to here, we've kind of started you off on the discovery process a little bit. And both are very important. And, you know, but we were just doing something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And we have more than 40% women authors at any given point in time. We keep moving our shelves around, but we always have a shelf on caste. Mm-hmm. We always have a shelf on feminism. We have a very good history shelf and a lot of great fiction as well, Indian fiction as well, South Asian fiction. So I think it was interesting that people were looking, it was kind of validating my idea that people were looking for this kind of a space where you walk in and you know you'll find some in these. You don't have a shelf where you'll find that. There are a lot of women authors, and there's a lot of research showing that they've not been represented. Also, it was very important for me to set the culture of our organization for customers as well as for the people who work with us. So in the F&B industry, there are a lot of women who are servers, but there are not a lot of women who are chefs in India. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to find some but that's what we did, and I think that was part of our vision, that we wanted to create this kind of really comfortable space that becomes a kind of community. So people do come and sit there for hours at a time and work or meet other people and talk to us, and you don't have to buy anything. It is a comfortable space where you can just come. Most of our events are free. Uh-huh. You can just come and be part of these conversations. We also try to bring in authors that other people are not bringing in, that books that are not getting so much focus, but are excellent books and are excellent authors.
Cool. About your career, was it tough to walk away from that career to do this?
No, I think it was a bit gradual. So when I was also, I've started working more on conservation, and so working with local people and local communities to preserve wildlife. And then I spend a lot of time with people, listening to their stories and taking storybooks for children there in these slightly more remote areas. And it felt like a gradual change. I also then ended up doing a course on library education because I was very interested in that part of things. And then I think it was a decision to go for to have a bookstore and a library, but not just a not-for-profit library, because I feel like it's difficult when you're always dependent on other people. And I felt like this vision could stand on its own. But we also have a library, and we also run free classes in a space in Pottery Town, and then we want to make that into a free community library, but I don't necessarily want to be dependent on external funds all the time to be able to do that.
Yeah, you mentioned community. How do you sort of like go about building?
So I think over time, a lot of people have approached us and asked us what, you know, how they can be a part of this, how they can help us. We're still very young and we're still figuring a lot of these things out, but we do have a regular set of customers who are interested in events. They even recommend books to us that we get for our store, because I'm sure we're missing out on a whole bunch of things. I mean, there are thousands of books out there. And so people have slowly become a part of this conversation, a part of this fabric. They recommend events, they also recommend books, they recommend then books to other customers. Mm. And it's been a really, really warm and nice experience that people have come together in ways that we did not expect. For example, when we launched our voucher program last month, because we had to close down, we did not expect to have so much support in such a short period of time. And it's been very nice to see that people have supported us. That means it basically means that we can survive at this point when a lot of places are closing down. We don't have to let go of our employees at a time when they're most vulnerable. That's what it means for us, and that means a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this COVID-19 then. When did you sort of like take this like seriously? When did you have to close? Did you you have to close down immediately? You know, do you have to kick customers out?
Yeah, so it was announced on March 22nd in India, but we closed on March 19th because there was a case actually close to where we are. So I didn't want to put customers and employees at risk. So we closed from March 19th. We were looking at the situation and deciding what to do. And then when this news came in, it was a quick decision that we made and we closed from the next year.
Yeah, so it's been a few months now, hasn't it? When do you think you'll be back open?
So a lot of actually bookstores are starting to open in Bangalore right now. And I'm planning to open just for pickups from Monday, but for a few hours at a time only. And then again, gauge the situation and see how.
Yeah, so I suppose the $64,000 question is when do you think it'll be back to normal?
That is a difficult question. A lot of people, I mean, I've been watching news and asking around, and it seems like it will be maybe September or October before things are back to normal.
Would you have to like redesign the coffee shop or something?
The thing is, we're a very small space. We're actually 950 square feet. And so we have to, I don't know how the coffee shop will work out in that sense. We may have to be open only for pickups for a while and just for browsing, but keeping that much distance. We'll have to figure it out as it goes.
Okay. Has the government been helping you then?
I haven't come across anything that we are eligible for right now, but I've kept my ears open. And if anyone knows of anything, I'll be happy to.
Okay, yeah. To talk about the voucher, how does that work then?
Yeah, so you can go to our website and you can buy vouchers, and then they can be redeemed anytime in the year. We're also planning to launch, I mean, the thing is, I did not expect to be online so quickly. It was in my 3 or 5 year plan because we were really focusing on building a local community in Bangalore for the first couple of years, and we were not expecting to have to sell online so quickly. So, but we are prepping for that, and we're starting to build a website where we can also sell our books online, but also have a book club and a book subscription program that we want to launch. So this year we're planning to have a book subscription program focused on translations. It's another topic very close to our heart.
Yeah, it seems books plays a big part in your life. What is it about books that you love then?
I mean, it really transforms your life, I think. Of course, I'm biased, but I think they provide everything. They're an escape, they're a joy, you're learning things at the same time, but you're also, you know, suddenly so much about other people's lives in different spaces. You know, you have so much to reflect about your own life when you read about it in a book. It's just, this books are amazing. I quit pretty amazing. And I guess I also spend a lot of time in many remote spaces, and I always had access to books, and it just didn't feel like I was stuck in a remote space when I had these books. It was wonderful. I want to be able to share this with people.
What remote spaces were you in?
So my last job was working in Spiti in Ladakh with the Snow Leopard Conservation, with Nature Conservation Foundation.
Wow.
And yes, I was there for a while. I was working in Kenya for 2 years. I was in other parts of India as well. So mostly I was doing wildlife research and conservation. It was quite amazing.
Did you see a snow leopard?
I saw one. Yeah, I was very lucky.
Yeah, I suppose one of the best things about this lockdown is there's more wildlife then.
Yeah, I don't know for how long. I'm trying not to feel very optimistic, but.
So obviously you've been closed since March. I mean, how are you sort of motivating yourself then?
I am spending a lot of time trying to figure out what the next year looks like for us. I'm also trying to figure out what it means to be online and how to prepare for that in the future. We're a very small team, so we're all working and trying to figure out what happens next. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do a few online events. Like tonight we're doing a literary pub quiz that I'm excited about.
Oh, nice.
You can sit in your homes and participate.
That's a good idea, yeah. Yeah, in terms of online, do you mean like actually selling products or taking orders, etc., etc.?
Yes, yeah. We want to be able to sell our books online. We also want to, like I said, do an online book club with the book subscription program. So as soon as our courier service is open, we should be able to, you know, send people books and then discuss them all together.
Okay, yeah. What are the most popular books then?
So we've had, there's this book called Cities and Canopies by Harini Nagender and Seema Mondoli. It is about the trees in cities in India. And it's very very popular and very surprisingly popular. And also one of the other things I learned during this time is that people read a lot more nonfiction than I thought they did, or at least they buy a lot more nonfiction than I thought they did. So it's quite interesting to see. Then we have this book called Exhalation by Ted Chiang.
I was looking at that. Yeah. I was looking at that yesterday. He wrote the Arrival.
Nice.
Yeah, he wrote Arrival.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So his first book, his second book was Exhalation, and that sells really well here.
Okay, I have to buy that book.
Very good short stories.
Yeah, so he's mainly like short stories he writes.
Yes. Okay. These are also short stories.
Okay.
And there's another one called Trick Mirror by Gia Tolenti, which is also doing very well. It's essays on the internet actually, and growing up in the internet age, which is also very interesting. Okay. So yeah, we have a whole bunch of interesting sales.
Good stuff. Has anyone helped you on your journey?
I think people have been very helpful. I've been in touch with other cafe owners across the space. The cafe business is also very demanding because people expect very high standards out of you, and there's very little room for error. So I've been lucky to have a whole bunch of people to speak to and to guide me. I've also had other bookstore owners, like, you know, there's a children's bookstore in Bangalore, Lightroom, and then there's another bookstore in Delhi called The Bookshop, and they've been at it for many years, and they've been very, very amazing and have guided us from the beginning. And so we've had a whole bunch of different people helping us out. I've also, for our cafe also, I hired this a really amazing woman called Sarah, who runs Copper and Cloaks, and then she helped us figure out the menu. And it's one thing to dream up the menu, but it's another thing to have to train your chefs and then have an outcome that you want. So she's helped us do that really well. So yeah, I think I think it's really important to have this network of people and pass it on.
Very useful. I'm interested to know what questions did you ask the book owners or book?
So what happens in India? You have thousands of Excel sheets that are thrown at you from your distributors and publishers, and you have to figure out how to order from that. So I had a lot of questions initially on how many copies do you keep, and how much should should be front list, how much should be back list, how there's so much YA, should I be keeping all of it? There's just a lot of questions. So they helped me out as best as they could, and then the rest you just have to do it and learn as you go.
What mistakes did you make in the early days then?
I think everybody has different ways in which they deal with this, but because it was my first business, it was very hard for me to watch people leave. And the thing is, in this industry it's very common, and I don't think it's not personal, it's just what it is. So we worked very hard to create a space where people wanted to stay and wanted to be a part of it, but it was all a part of work and of business. I think I've learned to deal with that better now as we go.
So basically the initial issues was keeping hold of staff, basically.
Yeah. And whoever I spoke to, assured me that this happens a lot, and someone said my entire kitchen walked out one day, and I said, I can't imagine what you would have done. But that's what happens, and then you deal with it and you get on with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you have to make tough decisions at the start?
Yeah. That is very difficult. I think to be, it's a very different skill when you're just managing yourself or a few people in the field, and then everyone knows what you have to do. But I knew that I wanted to set the culture of my organization, and I knew how I wanted to do it. But when it actually comes to doing it, and when you have to make difficult decisions, or asking someone to leave or not do something, or do something in a certain way, it is a huge learning curve, and it is very uncomfortable. And I think it takes time to get used to that.
You gave an interview in your story in that you had issues with keeping all the staff and not being taken seriously.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a... It was not surprising. I was kind of expecting it. So when I went to... but it was very shocking.
why did they not take you seriously?
That's how it is. I went and I told them I'm opening a bookstore, and they all sat around me and they told me... They lectured me. 9 men sat around and lectured me on why I shouldn't do it.
What were their reasons why you shouldn't do it?
I guess they assumed that I hadn't done my research and I didn't know what I was talking about, but they were just like, it's a very difficult business and you shouldn't be doing it, and are you sure you want to do it, and do you have a partner, and those kind of questions.
But I'm sure they take you seriously now, surely. Please tell me.
It's going to take a few more years, but I have thicker skin now, I guess that's what has changed.
What is the ideal scenario then? If the government said, like, you're open tomorrow, would that be ideal for you?
We'd be happy to open from tomorrow. We're all just a bit concerned about what happens now. We don't want it to be a situation where we're in and out of lockdown because, you know, we haven't thought this through.
Mm.
It would also help if the government took other measures, like, you know, making sure we didn't have to pay rent, or we could pay reduced rent, or, you know, some measures just for our employees as well.
If I said to you when you were in Kenya that you'd be running your own coffee shop in Bangalore, what would you say?
I would not believe you. Before I started this, I mostly preferred my spending my time reading my book by myself and not talking to other people. So I've had to do a 360-degree personality change too.
Well, that must have been challenging.
I'm an introvert who really likes to share her thoughts about food and books. That's why I had to do this.
What's been the best experience so far?
The last 2 months, people have reached out to me from everywhere to see how they can help, how we're doing, and to make sure that we don't close. And that has been, I'm really very grateful for that. And that's been very humbling.
Yourself? And as a first-time entrepreneur, what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs then?
I think it's very important to have a good network of people to support you and who believe in your idea. It's very important to you to understand finance. I understand numbers, but not necessarily finance, and it's something I'm learning. I think these two are very important. And of course, great staff. And then once you get that great staff, you hold on to them.
Excellent stuff. Last question. For people who want more information on you and the coffee shop, what must they do?
We're a really nice website called www.jhampaka.in. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and we respond to DMs.
Brilliant. Radhika, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thanks to Radhika for coming on the show today. And for more information, please go to kampacha.in. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, and I shall be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co, or tweet at Indian Startup SH, or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Thank you and goodbye.